You love Jesus?
All right, we'll do our best to talk to you tonight. And over in the book of St. Luke, if you've got your Bible, the book of St. Luke, the sixth chapter. I think we'll start at the 37th verse. It says, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." And he spake a parable unto them. "Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, 'Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye,' when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." You know, here in the Word, the Lord speaks to us, and the question that he asks is, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You know, I could ask the question here tonight, being acquainted with many of you, knowing that you do not do the things that God asks you to do, nor you do not seek the favor of God, nor do you seek the will of God. Yet you call him Lord, Lord. I hear you say that he is your Lord. I hear you say that you are going to make it in the kingdom of God and that you're going to be part of the kingdom of God. And I hear you proclaim to one another that you come to the house of God because you are a child of God. And yet, I do not see you do the things of God, nor do the things that please God. And I read in the Bible where he says, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" How can you call me Lord, Lord, Jesus said, when you do not the things I say? You know, there's a lot to that. Somebody would say, "Well, Brother Pike, what does he mean? Why call me Lord and do not the things that I say?" Jesus was simply saying, how can you call me Lord and be not subject to me? Is it possible that a person can be your Lord and you not be subject to him? You know that's not possible. It is not possible that a man be your Lord and you not be subject to him. The thing that makes him your Lord is that you are subject unto him. You take Sarah, she was subject unto Abraham. Therefore, Abraham was her Lord. You must be subject to somebody for them to be your Lord. Jesus said, how is it that you're not subject to me? You are not my subjects, nor have you subjected yourself unto me. How is it then you say, Lord, Lord, to me? I am not your Lord, Jesus was saying. I am not your Lord. Your Lord is him to whom you are subject. If you are subject to Satan, then Satan is your Lord. I am not your Lord, for I am the Lord of those that serve me. Those that are subject to me, I am their Lord. How is it you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say, Jesus said? How is it, I say to you, that you refer to the Lord Jesus as being your Lord? Don't you know that he isn't your Lord? You say, but Brother Pike, he's everybody's Lord. No, that isn't true. He's only Lord to those that are subject unto him. He is not everybody's Lord. He is only Lord to them that serve him. He is not everybody's God. He is only God to them that serve him. There be many gods in the world that can't see, can't talk, can't walk, and many people serve those gods. Those gods are the gods of the people. The Bible says that in the Old Testament, God gave them up to worship the host of heaven, the work of their own hand. They turned to witchcraft. Did you know that we're living in a repeated hour? Did you know that this is the very same kind of situation as it was in the days of Noah and as it was back in the days of Moses? Do you realize that God is giving the people up to worship the host of heaven and that they are becoming stargazers and that they are going to people like Jeannie Dixon and they're contacting witch spirits and they're contacting mediums. And they are worshiping the host of heaven. And they are studying the stars. And they are stargazers. And they have these little old things that they study. I don't know just exactly what you call them. But they have to do with the stars. When the planets move about in a certain place. And the sun is in a certain position. And they call it the house of Jupiter. Or the house of this planet. Or whatever. And they determine by that what's going to befall somebody. And those people subject themselves to that kind of knowledge, to those kind of leaders, and they believe in what those people say about it. Their faith is given to those kind of powers. He has given them up to worship the host of heaven. God has done this because they have not a love for the truth. You just can't hardly believe today when you hear it. You can't hardly believe that the things are taking place that's actually taking place. I heard a man say today that a man that he knew in another state that had been serving God, all of a sudden he started drinking whiskey and he started frolicking in the world. And he told him, he said, I have decided, he said, that God had rather that I would drink liquor and drink these awful drinks and do these things than to live the way I've been living. Said he feels like God wants him to do that. You say, but that's horrible, Brother Pike. Nobody could believe that. But the Bible says because you have not a love for the truth, God will turn you over to a reprobate mind, let you believe a lie, and then be damned. Oh, but I could never do that, somebody would say. Well, I heard of a case worse than that. I related it to you here. There was a man that's been a preacher, a man that's done the things that you've done as far as trying to live for God, fasting, praying, all of these things. I saw him in a vision where he turned, got him a nightclub. It came to pass. And when they asked him, why was he drinking? Why was he running this dance hall? Why was he doing this thing? He said he felt it was the will of God, that God had directed him to do that. Because we have not a love for the truth, God will turn us over to a reprobate mind. Let us believe a lie and then be damned. But I would never do that, somebody would say. Brother Pike, you know that I wouldn't do a thing like that. But yet some of you are doing far worse than that. You are staying here under the light of the gospel and under the revelation of the Lord Jesus, and you are manipulating here and there,
and you are adding things to your life, and you are doing things and putting things into the radius of your everyday living, telling yourself that God will let you by with it and that God doesn't care, when I preach from the Word of God every day, that it is a transgression of God's Word. It doesn't matter whether you have a nightclub, whether you drink wine to excess, or whether you drink beer or whiskey, any more than it does whether or not you obey the Word of God. For if you do not obey God's Word, what difference is it? There is no big sins with God. There is no little sins with God. The Bible said that if you rebel, just rebel, and sit in the house of God in the seat of the scornful, He said you have a witch spirit. In the Old Testament, He had the witches stoned to death. He said you are of a witch, worshiping a witch. If you do those things, to rebel is the same as being a witch. So then, if you do not honor God's word, if you do not honor the ministry, if you do not give the earnest heed to the things that you've heard to incorporate these in your life, and if you do not make them a part of your daily makeup, then you are in rebellion against the Word of God. And you are not following the Word of God. And you're not conforming to the Word of God. Therefore, you are guilty of transgressing God's Word. So then, what is the difference? Whether you have a dance hall or whatever. The thing is, if you're out, you're out. And the Bible said, if God rejects you, make to yourselves friends of the unrighteous mammon, that they may receive you into everlasting habitation when God rejects you. Because you're going to need some friends out there. So then, whatever it might be, it's God's word. How then can you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I tell you? Jesus said, how is it that I speak my word to you, and I send the prophets to you, rising up early in the morning and even until late at night? I send the ministry to you, and I've never sent anybody to you, but what, you didn't stone him to death or kill him? He said you hide behind the hedges of life, hide in the valleys, and you whet your tongues like arrows. Now listen to me. He said you whet your tongues like arrows and hide behind the rocks to shoot at the upright in heart. You that won't live right, you that won't do what God tells you, always you whet your tongue, always you're sharpening your wits, trying to learn something new, trying to pull out something, trying to drag something out of the past where somebody's tried to put it under the blood, or trying to scrutinize and watch somebody to find some little something wrong that you might peck them to death, that you might whet your tongue and get everything fitted together, get everything just right so you can shoot at the upright in heart. Always doing that. Whet your tongue like arrows, like sharpening arrows, so that you can find something to say about somebody, and usually the somebody that you say it about is usually a better person than you yourself. Usually you're in the mire and you're down in the hog pens of the world. You're down there licking the vomit with the dogs, and then you wet your tongue that you might shoot at the others. But listen, you're going to shorten your days by your disobedience. When a man or woman does those things, they shorten their days by their disobedience. Don't you love life? Don't you want to keep on living? Don't you want to live long enough to see your children reared up and see your children healthy and strong? Don't you want to stay with your little ones? Do you want to die that they just go to the wind? Just leave them out here to be trampled underfoot? Nobody look after them. Don't you want to stay around and be around long enough to try to help them? Don't you want to keep breathing, eating, drinking, seeing, walking, and talking? Don't you love life? Had you rather go frolicking, God cut you off? How many warnings have we give here? How many multiplied warnings have we give here? Again and again and again have we give warnings to you and to you, asking you not to do it. Those that we've warned, those that we've spoken of, they have had terrible wrecks where people was killed. People just mangled up. And they themselves barely escaped with their lives. And some of them didn't escape with their lives. Those that we warned, others have had severe ailments of the body, barely escaping with their lives. Things happening, all the time happening. Yet the warnings keep going out. The warnings keep going out. And yet those that will not heed, those that will not listen, they keep wetting their tongues like arrows. They keep coming into the sanctuary, not resolved to the will of God, not surrendered from their own mind, having their own thing in mind, having their own ambition, having their own plans, knowing that it's not right for them to think that way. But yet they put it all together in this, that ugly, evil way of life that Satan produces, and the carnal mind causes him to come up with that. You know what we need to do, folks? Rather than having a selfish attitude, rather than having a greedy, possessive attitude of wanting to hog, as we say, everything in the world, and wanting to get a hold of everything and get it under our control, you know, and put our finger on somebody to enslave them, what we need to do is want to be like Jesus and be willing to die for Christ's sake and for humanity's sake. Amen. Be willing to just wash our brother's feet. Willing to give our brother our food. Willing to share with everybody and help everybody. And be an example of Christ in the earth. That's what we need to do. Instead of being a bunch of greedy dogs. The Bible said my people are greedy dogs. They don't never get enough. What we need to do is centralize our thinking, centralize our efforts, centralize our motives, centralize our desire, our ambitions. Plan our future with God and on God. See, and just look toward Christ and say, Father, help me. Help me, Father, to do the right thing. Help me to be awake in the Spirit. Help me to understand God. Help me to want to do something to where my life will count. You know, I got a report today. I've had one or two people on my mind. I've really had them on my mind lately. And George Jr. was telling me late over in the evening that he run across the man the other day. He said, Dad, he said, when I saw him, he said, he is so skinny. He is so run down. He is so poor. Said he looked like death on a stick. That was the way he described it. And said he looked at me, said, I didn't even recognize him. Been around him for years, but I didn't recognize him. And finally, when he got my attention and called me to recognize him, said the man spoke to me, and I talked with him a little, and he said, look at me. He said, I've wasted my life. You know him. You know him. I warned him a few years ago. I warned him a few years ago. He came here. But he wouldn't listen. He's been through one heartache after another. His family is all broken up. His home is all tore up. God did a great thing in his family. But that wasn't good enough. The world, see. The world. But he said, I wish that I could go back and redo my life. I wished I could turn the thing around again, he said, and go back and straighten my life up and live it over. I said, I wish I could do it. I said, I've wasted my life. But see, it hasn't been but a few years ago when he was laughing and he was cursing and he was drinking and he was mocking me and mocking the people of Bethlehem. Isn't it the same? Doesn't it happen that way to all of them? Everyone that rises up against God, have you ever read anywhere where any one of them ever prospered? Oh, when I think about God and his wrath and those that have spoken against him and those that are living today that would dare to say anything against God, I literally tremble when I think about it, to think what will happen to them. that a man would be such a fool and a woman would whet her tongue to shoot at the upright in heart when the Bible said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Vengeance is mine and I will repay, saith God. And yet we dare to touch God's anointed and we dare to say things and we dare to speak. We dare to get together and put our finger on God's man or on God's woman or on God's church or God's work or God's people. We dare to bring them into our minds in a degraded way to discuss them when God tells us not to do it. We dare to do it when the Bible says that angels who are greater in power and in might dare not to bring railing accusation even against the devil himself, but just said, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan. Think about that. The angels who are greater in power and might wouldn't even dare defile himself by bringing a railing accusation against the devil himself. If anybody was deserving to be criticized, Satan deserves it. But he never brought one railing accusation, though he's greater than you in power and might, as far as a being, but he dare not say anything. And then when we esteem ourselves to be in such condition that God will take care of it, grace will overlook it. But the Bible warns us and it says this, fear lest a promise of you entering into his rest be left you and you be taken away and God not let you go in. And think of this, I said it the other night, that if God's angels are unclean in his sight, and if God charged his angels with folly and cast them out of heaven, the Bible said, how much more will he find fault with you that live in houses of clay? Said, when even his angels are unclean in his sight. Oh, listen. We need to do right, folks. The Bible said to be therefore perfect even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. How is it that you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say, Jesus said. How is it that the minister stands and preaches the word to you and tells you my will and my desire and you do not the things he tells you that I desire for you to do? How is it that you hear these things and do not obey them and then turn and call me Lord? How can you say that I am your Lord when you do not these things? I warn you tonight as one that loves you, that you must obey him if you're to call him Lord. You must walk in his will. You must have his mind. You must do the things that please him. If he is to be your Lord, you must be subject to him. You know, many times I find myself praying and crying and I plead with God and I literally shake and I literally tremble. And I say, my God, remember me. Oh, God, remember me. Remember me, Jesus. And I cry and I plead and I beg before God, remember me. And I say, Lord, be merciful. God, be merciful to little Bethlehem and the people of little Bethlehem and their children. God, forgive them and be merciful, Lord. Have mercy on them. We remember Jesus, though he was a son. Jesus, the Son of God, though he was the Son of God, the Bible said, yet learned he obedience. Jesus, the Son of God, yet learned he obedience. The Son of God himself, the Bible said, learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And the Bible tells us that we learn obedience by the things we suffered in Jesus. Learned obedience by the thing that he suffered. Therefore, being made perfect, the Bible said, he became the author and the finisher of our salvation. And the Bible says, because he offered up supplication with strong crying and weeping before God, strong crying, weeping and crying to God, because he did it. In that he offered up strong crying with supplication. In that he did it, he was heard by God. He was heard by the great heavenly Father. in that he offered up supplications such as fasting and strong crying. God heard him and had mercy on him. And I tell you tonight, you can't call him Lord, Lord, and do not the things that he tells you. I know this is a short sermonette, and I could just go on and on and on because I feel the freedom of the Spirit and the anointing to do it. But I want these few words to really sink down in your heart tonight. How is it, Jesus said to them, that you call me Lord, and you do not the things that I tell you to do? How is it that you do this? What causes you to call me Lord and do not the things that I tell you to do? I tell you in Jesus' name tonight, there's coming a day of recompense and there's coming a reckoning day. And unless you do the things that he says, you won't make it in. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God. But the Bible said, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, that's the one that's going to make it in. If I do the will of God, then I'll make it into the kingdom of God. But if I do not the things that he says, I won't make it into the kingdom of God. He that doeth the will of God, the Bible said, he abideth forever. Heaven and earth passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If my words abide in you, that is, continue in you. Don't just come and go, but you keep them in you. You think on them. You meditate in them day and night. If they abide in you continually, and if you abide in them, that is, walk in them, live in them, abide by them, obey them, honor them. He said, ask what you will, and I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that. You say you don't. Yes, I do, with all of my heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. I believe what God said about it. He said, ask what you will. I will do it. You say, well, Brother Pike, have you ever asked him anything and he did not do it? I have never asked him anything. Not anything that I have ever known since I've been in the understanding of God that agreed with his word, that was in harmony with his word, but what he did it. Not anything. Not anything. He will do anything that you ask him. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, Jesus said. Ask what you will. Ask that your joys might be full. For it is the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. And the Bible said, your fruits remain, that whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. This is your fruits. And it is the Father's good pleasure that you bring forth much fruit. Much fruit. Much fruit. Ask. 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 And when you pray, believe. Ask what you will, and I will do it. If you've not asked him for anything, ask him for something. Somebody said, well, I've got a lot of things I want done. I don't have anything I want done except his desire and his will. That's all I've got. I'm going to say, now, Brother Pike, isn't it just bunches of things that you want done? Not one thing except his will. I pray for one thing, Father, thy will be done. That's my only request. Is, Father, thy will be done, for I have no other desire. I have no other ambition. Father, thy will be done. That is my prayer. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, do you believe he answers your prayer? I believe his will is being done. Say, well, I know some lives it's not being done in. I don't pray for it to be done in there. Jesus said, Father, I pray not for these, but them that you have given me. Of those, I have not lost a one. So then, there is a great, wonderful thing taking place. I feel pressed in the Spirit, real pressed in the Spirit. I feel that God is trying to do something exceedingly great, mighty, magnificent, and outstanding. And I can see it happening. But then I wonder about those that are able to receive it and those that are able to enter into it. Few there be that find it, Jesus said. And the days are coming to a close. We're almost down at the end. We're not far from the end. Everything is just about down to the closing of the way. The harvest is past. The night has come. The winter is here. And the writer said, you're not saved yet. You're not saved yet. I'm glad that I'm a Christian tonight. I'm so thankful that I love Jesus tonight. I was just thinking today, there in my room, I thought, Lord, the world is so enticing. Men just rolling in their flesh, lusting and greedy in their passions like a bunch of wild horses. The Bible said every man knees after his neighbor's wife like horses that's fed to the full. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord. And I thought, that's the world. That's the world. And to them it looks so brilliant and bright. But to me it looks like a slop hole. To me it looks like a pig pen where pigs have lived for many years. It looks like vomit that dogs have wallowed in. But you know, you have to get on the other side of the fence to really see that. As long as you're out there in it, you know, you can live in a house of filth so long that you get adjusted to it and it don't smell bad to you at all. But you just walk into a house of filth where you've been out in the fresh air and your lungs are clean and pure. And you just walk in and get a whiff of a house of filth. And I'll tell you, it'll almost make you vomit, and sometimes it will make you vomit. God isn't going to live in a house of filth. Did you know that? Yeah, the temples of the Holy Ghost, you might as well clean up. Children of God are going to clean up. Be sanctified and be holy. You're not going to eat at the table of God and eat at the table of devils. He said, all of my tables are full of vomit. Why did he say all of my tables are full of vomit? He said, because it's a lukewarm, Laodicean generation that I will spew out of my mouth. All of it is filled with vomit. But let's don't fill the tables of God with vomit. Let's don't be like raging waves foaming out our own shame in saying what we think and saying what we feel it ought to be done and thinking what we think about it. Raging waves that's foaming out their own shame. But let's manifest Jesus. Let's think about Jesus. Let's give forth Jesus. Let's be a radiant light that shows Jesus. Let's be interested in Jesus and in purity, in the eternal things of God and of decency, of holiness and of righteousness. Let's be Christians. Real, genuine Christians, you that have been holding on to God for a number of years, don't be weary in well-doing. The Bible said in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Be not weary and faint in your mind. You know where a person faints is in their mind. You don't actually faint in your body, whereas the Bible said you've not yet resisted unto the striving of blood. Many people in years gone by have resisted to the striving of blood. They had to spill their blood. You've not done anything like that. So then there is no worry as far as physical depletion. But the Bible said, don't be weary and faint in your mind. You know, you get weary in mind. You get tired in mind. You get to thinking in mind. Like the brother that came over that invited us up to his tent meeting. The other day he came over. He said, Brother Pike, I'm tired. He said, in my mind, I'm tired. But you know, I understand because he's fighting a battle. And you can get that way. But you know, I discovered a secret and I tell you the truth. I am not tired in my mind. As I told the brethren, I should be tired in my body. I should be tired in my mind. I should be oppressed. I should be as a candle that's going out. But I feel fresh like a flowing river. I feel like a stream that's breaking forth from the earth in abundance of water. My cup runs over. And I feel that strength of God, that great jubilance of God. That makes me want to drive with all that's within me for God. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunken off of the cares of life. You know, you keep on wanting new dresses and new clothes and money and income and trailers and homes and automobiles and frolic and doing this and doing that. And after a while, you're just drunk, sloppy drunk. You can't get your mind on God. You don't have any thirst for God. You don't have any hunger for God. You're like the prodigal. The only difference is you have filled your belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And there is no hunger for God, no thirst for God. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. But be hungering and thirsting after the things of God, that God may fill you with the real life and the real strength of God. You know, in the day we're living in, people are dying with all kind of dreadful diseases. Isn't that right? The reason is because of high-bred food. You know that. It's high-bred food. You know what I mean by that? I mean they're trying to mix darkness with light, put a little world in with religion. You know, a little religious dish. But it's going to kill them. It's going to kill their soul. It's going to take their life away from them. But you don't need any high-bred stuff. You need the old-fashioned, old-time Holy Ghost gospel. Grow just exactly the way that God planted it to grow. You need that real, genuine, organic stuff. It comes from God. You know, that's still got the nourishment in it. That's still got the potentials for real health and real ability. Don't have the additives in it to eat you up and to kill you out. You don't need hybrid food. You need the real, genuine thing. That's what we need. That's what we need. So then, let's be full of the Spirit. Don't faint in your minds. Don't faint in your mind. Shake yourself. When the devil says, boy, you're weary and you're tired. Say, you might be weary and tired, but I'm feeling fine. Well, you're going about as far as you can go, so you might be going about as far as you can go, but I got a lot of things to do. And well, you just can't make it because there just ain't no way out. So you might not have no way out, but I escaped through Calvary. And after a while, he'll leave you alone. You know, when you're weary and you're cast down as far as the world's concerned, and the devil is just beating the daylights out of you, and you just can't look like you just can't do no way at all, and he said, boy, you just can't make it. Well, woman, you just had it. That's all there is to it. You can't make it. You just can't make it. While you slipped and you've done this and you've fallen and you can't make it and you're weary, you can't go another day. Just say, glory to God, I made it through Calvary. I made it through Calvary. I'm over on the other side. I thank God. I might be a little tired and weary, but I made it. I made it through Calvary. I'm over here in the land of Canaan eating the grapes of Eshcol, and I'm praising God. I ain't worried about making it. I've been over here all the time. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, would you lie like that? No. You liars, don't you say a word about it. I'm talking about you that's over here with me. I'm talking about them that's on this side. You just tell the devil all about it. Because it's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. Made it through Calvary every whit. The Bible said, be strong in the power of my might. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I asked God one time, I said, why come I to be of good cheer? Because you overcome the world. I thought, my Lord, that's good. I'm glad. But God, what about me? And he said, son, you don't have to worry about you. When I overcome the world, that was you. That's why I said, be of good cheer. You've overcome the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even the faith, your faith in what I've done for you. So be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. How you can say to somebody else, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Through Christ, I've overcome the world. Through Calvary, I've overcome the world. The Bible said, he that belongs to God, he's dead to the things of this world. He hath completely killed out the things of this world. He hath mortified the deeds of the body. And he is dead to the flesh. He hath overcome the world. Glory to God. That makes me feel better and better and better. So then he starts bothering you. Don't faint in your mind. Just lay down, relax a little bit. Praise God for the victory. Get up. go again. Let's sing this little chorus together. Can we sing it? Have faith in God. Can you sing it with me? Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have you got faith in Calvary tonight? Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God for salvation. Have faith in God. You believe everything's going to be all right? Do you really believe that? Let's sing that little chorus. Can you sing it? Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Jesus came and saved my soul. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be all right. Oh, let us praise Him. Can you praise Him? Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him in the morning and praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Oh, let us love Him. Oh, love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him at the noontime. Love Him. Oh, love Him. When the sun goes down, oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. Oh, heaven's come down. Sometimes